I'm Teen Zekas.
And hey, I'm Ilika Follette. We are business owners and moms with corporate backgrounds, and we are all about getting Black women paid in both corporate and business.
And you're listening to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast.
Let's go.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Getting Black Women Paid podcast. Today, we are talking about code switching. Yes. This is a huge topic, especially for Black women in the workplace, Black women entrepreneurs. The necessity, act, and skill of code switching, and two, the impact that it has. Mm-hmm. On us who are being told to bring your whole self to work, except that your whole self is not actually welcome at work, et cetera. So I'm excited to dig into this topic with you, Ilika. I guess let's start with, you know, what has your own experience been with code switching in the workplace?
Yeah. So, well, first, for if y'all don't know us really quickly, because this might be someone's first episode watching.
Oh, right. Well, get into it. Yes.
So I'm Ilika Follette. I'm mom of four, and I am 20-year veteran in corporate America as a business strategist, moved over and became an entrepreneur in the wellness area and moved back into business strategy as an entrepreneur. So my experience around code switching is in both spaces, right? So really quickly, I grew up in an area where my family and the family across the street were the only Black kids at our whole school, right? So that was me from first grade all the way to about seventh grade. And then there were a few more Black kids trickled in. And then I went ninth grade. When I went to high school, we had a few more, but we were still only about 1-2% Black kids at the entire school, right?
Wow.
And so I learned to code switch so well that I thought it was my regular voice. It was, you know, I went to church, and when I went to a Black church, so I'd be in school and basketball and all the things all day in my school, all white kids, all our friends were white. We had a couple of Black friends and that was it. And then I'd go to church and I'd be like, hey, what's going on, y'all? Oh my goodness. And I'm talking regular with my cousins and our other people at our church. And then I go to school. Hey guys, it's Ilika. Oh my goodness. What? That happened? Oh my gosh, right? And so
yep.
Back and forth, and I didn't even know I did it, right? And then I went to college, and I went to HBCU, North Carolina A&T, Aggie Pride. And so when I got there, I walked in. I remember the first day of orientation, and the friends I met on day one are still some of my closest friends to this day.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. And they still make fun of me for that first meeting that we were in where we were all introducing ourselves. And I'm like, hey, I'm Ilika and I'm from Syracuse and da da da. And I'm just telling my story. And I think I felt like everybody stopped. I was just like, why is she talking like this? You know, like, is that how she talks? Like, they couldn't even grasp what was happening.
Right.
Me, mentally, it was like, when I get into this space that's business or school, I have to talk like this. When we walk outside of school, I can be regular Ilika again. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, even like, if you notice, my voice goes up an octave. Hey, guys.
Yep.
And then back to me, you know, mm-hmm. And then, wild, because we start learning it as a child. That's how wild it is, especially if you grew up in an area that everybody is white but you. It's like, well, I've got to sound like them. I can't sound like me, you know, with my deeper voice and my, you know, different octave, and you know, they're gonna know, you know, right?
Wow, that's so wild. And then you just associate that with school and business and not with, you know, I'm blending into this white situation.
Exactly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I will do a brief introduction of myself as well. So I'm Teen Zekas. I started out my career as a high school math teacher and I made a pivot into engineering. Through the course of working as an engineer, I doubled my teaching salary and then went on to triple it. And now I help other Black women do the same. And, you know, for me, code switching goes back to childhood as well. I grew up biracial. I'm the daughter of a Nigerian immigrant and a white woman. And I grew up in a town that's very diverse. In fact, largely my parents moved here because there are other interracial families. Mm. And when I say here, I mean, because I moved back too, so my kids would know other biracial kids, right? So, so I, you know, I came back home. So for me, growing up, especially with a Nigerian dad, I didn't necessarily resonate with the African American experience mm-hmm. as a kid. And it, you know, growing up, it was mostly other children of immigrants that I would be like, oh yeah, I know I couldn't say that in front of my dad, you know, and you kind of have that immediate connection.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got to college that I realized that that was a really, that was a divide there. I was, mm-hmm. I went to Washington University in St. Louis mm-hmm. and, I was on a Black scholarship and my other, co-scholars, my family, we all met for certain reasons, but they weren't my social group. And I realized that like all the Black kids were hanging out together and I was hanging out with like the choir nerds. and for me, I don't think it was until after college that I really started to live into my Blackness in terms of my like Black American experience and really mm-hmm. started to form those connections, especially with other Black women, where you can even tell a portion of a story and the other one's already like, yep, I've been there. I already know what you're talking. You don't even have to finish that sentence, right? So, right. So now I crave that and I seek that. And mm-hmm. I do find when I'm talking with other Black women is when I'm the most myself, mm-hmm. right? And I don't have to do the explaining or the, you know, you don't explain yourself. And so it's been interesting because my code switching experience has been, you know, I grew up, I won't say I grew up white. My Nigerian cousins would say I'm white.
My Black cousins used to call me white too. So,
I grew up thinking of being an other, right? So,
yeah.
In a white context, I was Black. Mm-hmm. In a Black context, I was white. I was always just not a fit.
Right.
And so part of the code switching was to fit in, right? Was mm-hmm. to be like, yeah. I'm not as different as it seems, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even when I talk with other Africans, I get this like pseudo African accent that just kind of comes out, right? Like, because you're just kind of reflecting what they're doing, you know? And so, in fact, I dated a guy, a Kenyan. Mm-hmm. And at one point I mentioned, so I was like, you know, this isn't how I normally speak. And he was really upset. Like, well, I need to know how you normally talk. So I told him a story in my Chicago accent and he did not know the word I said. I went too fast and whatever. He was like, I have no idea what you're even saying. And so we do it for, you know, for different situations. Mm-hmm. But I think the piece that has really caught my attention recently is with this whole, the somewhat recent push for, you know, equity and belonging and inclusion in the workplace. And then this whole, oh, we're a family, bring your whole self to work. And Black women are always like, I know you don't mean that.
Right. Exactly.
You know how I know you don't mean that because every time I tell you anything, you got something to say about my tone.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. If I have a different idea or I disagree with something, you're going to talk about I'm combative or I'm whatever. You are hearing me differently than mm-hmm. you're hearing other people. So I can't just come in there talking how I talk.
100%. Yeah. And it's funny because going into corporate America, I leaned in heavy. And it was tough for me because even though I grew up in an all white area, when I went to college, I went to an HBCU and my parents were very intentional about me specifically going to an HBCU because mm-hmm. my sisters didn't code switch as much as I did. Like, well, no, I can't even say it. Like they code switched, but they code switched. I was switched. I wasn't even cold. There was no cold. I was like, I thought this is who I was.
Right. They would dip it in when they needed to, and you were just submerged. I was always in. Yep.
So my parents were, I remember my parents were intentional. They wanted, my older sister went to an HBCU, but they really wanted me to go to HBCU because they needed me to see the Black experience and see it in a different way. And so when I got there, you know, now I went from this basically what they called Oreo at the time. We've all heard it, right? Yep. From the Oreo, hey guys, da, 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 right? And my family called me that, not my immediate family, but like cousins and stuff like that, right? So I went from there to, you know, I'm at an HBCU, so I'm all the way in, you know, I'm, hey, what's going on? And I'm talking like me. And then I went to corporate. And now I'm the only Black person in the room again. Yeah. And I immediately switch back, right? It's like, I look at it.
Survival instinct.
Right. It is. I look at it like this. When I went to Italy for the first time, right? It was France. Sorry. When I went to France for the first time, I'm in France. I'm walking around and someone starts speaking to me in French. And I immediately responded back in Spanish. Right, because I responded back in the other
language mode, even if it's not right. I've done that.
And it's the same concept when it comes to code switching. Like I walked into these, you know, these white boardrooms, yep. And I'm like, gotta switch, right? And so I walked down the hall as me, walked, opened the door, and now I am Aileika the code switch, you know, yeah. I am walking in a completely different person, speaking a different way. And honestly, it took away from some of what I had to offer, because if I can't fully be me, then I'm not going to be able to give everything that I give what I have in order to, you know, take things to the next level.
And it's exhausting because it's not even just corporate. I worked at the Container Store, but very wealthy area, mm-hmm. a bunch of like rich, yep. white ladies, and I needed mm-hmm. to be non-threatening. My customer service voice was a lot like what you were talking about. I go yep. up the octave, like, oh, good morning, blah blah blah, you know, and I tell the same bad jokes, and I was mm-hmm. but I was working so hard to yep. be palatable to these people.
Exactly.
And it was exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot imagine if I was trying to do work that involved creativity, generating ideas, right. You know, I don't know if I would have had the energy for it because mm-hmm. I was so tired just from even my voice hurt just from all that. Hey, hello. I mean, I can't even do it anymore, which is maybe nice that I can't do my customer service voice anymore.
But it's so real. It's like, mm-hmm. it's tiring because you're holding back. It takes a lot of energy to hold back a piece of you, you know, and that's exactly what we were doing. We're mm-hmm. holding back like some of the biggest parts of us so that we can be palatable, so we can be acceptable.
The way you described that, I just thought of, I mean, I hadn't thought about it this before, but it's a lot like being in the closet.
Ooh.
You know? So I am bi, and, mm-hmm. And since I'm married to a man, it like doesn't come up as much, you know, in a professional setting, I'm not going to be like, right, it's not really relevant, like who I'm into, but, but you know, of my gay and lesbian friends, talk to like times where they've been out at work versus times when they've been in the closet, mm. they're a totally different person, right? That yeah. they're trying to edge their, you know, I had someone who would talk about, oh, my better half does this and whatever, you know, without saying, you know, my boyfriend yeah. or my husband, right? Like, and mm-hmm. just the effort you're putting into like, oh, well, should I walk this way? Should I stand this way? Is someone going to think something? I mean, it's just yep. exhausting. Mm-hmm.
It is.
To have a part of you that you are not just, you know, leaving back or holding out, but hiding. You're hiding mm-hmm. part of you. And so you're constantly mm-hmm. working to shield it. Let me make sure I didn't let my black out too much.
Right.
When someone said something, exactly. right?
Exactly. Yep. And sure, I'm not, you know, walking in a certain kind of way or sitting in a certain kind of way. I have to ensure that my hair is done a certain way. Like for me, I mean, obviously I kept a perm, you know, that whole time.
We got
to
do a whole episode about hair as well.
It's a whole thing. And it's like, we're stepping in saying, okay, they're not going to pay me as much if I'm speaking like this versus speaking like this. Hey guys, da-da-da. Oh, you know what? That doesn't really work. It doesn't even sound right coming from me now. Right. But you know, what's even crazier is that when I left corporate, I mean, I was still cold switching. Right. And so when I left corporate and came into the entrepreneurial world, I remember doing YouTube videos. And if anybody goes back and watches some of my first YouTube videos, you can see I was still code switching. Wow. And yeah, and
our invisible audience.
Right.
Was just still this need.
Wow. Natural, right? It was a natural thing. This is a business. It's what I'm doing. And so I have to speak this certain way. And I remember my husband was outside making a video in the office, and he was outside listening. And when I got out, he's like, "Why are you talking like that?" And I was like,
"What's wild, having someone in other part of your life hearing you switch and being like, who is that?"
Right, exactly. And I was like, "Well, you know," he's like, "Well, you're doing your work voice for YouTube. I don't understand why you're doing your work voice for YouTube," because he was okay with me doing it at work, because this is just what we did. This is what we all grew up doing. He has a work voice. You know, my sisters all have work voices. This is what we do, right? But hearing me do it for YouTube, he's like, this was so enlightening for me, because he literally said, "You know, didn't you come out of that for a reason? Why do you have to stop being you in what you've created?" And I was like, dagger, right?
Yeah.
Whoa. And it was like a dagger, but it was also like a freedom. And it helped me. I had to really look at, why am I still code switching? Mm. Like, what do I think it's going to bring me? What's the benefits? You know, is there some fear associated with it? Like, why am I doing it? Right. And
Make people comfortable who are not my audience, not my people.
Exactly. Like, what is the reason, you know? And what I realized is that I was doing it partially, one, because it was normal at that point. It was normal for me to do it in business. I'd done it for so long, so that's what I'm supposed to do. Yep. Two, I realized I was doing it because I felt like if they saw the real me, then this business would never grow. You know, there was a bit of that, right? Because imposter syndrome. That's literally the first thing I thought about. It's because that's what we step into. That's what we're always told, essentially, right?
Right. Success is white. You're going to have to sound white if you're going to be educated. You're going to have to sound white if you're going to be successful.
If they're going to pay you, if you're going to get paid the way you you want to be paid, you've got to sound white. Mm-hmm. And so what I love is that we're doing this episode. I love that we're doing this episode, because what we get to say and show in this episode is, here's something I'm going to say from a business standpoint. The moment I stopped code switching is when I started having my best years. Mm. So I started YouTube in 2017, right? And started coaching in 2018. In 2021, I stopped code switching. You know, I think it was 2020, maybe 2020. I probably just got sick of being in the house and was like, "I'm just going to talk like me." I don't know. So it was either 2020 or 2021. But my business literally grew so much more. And I stepped into me and my confidence. And
your authenticity.
Exactly. In such a bigger way. When I started speaking like me and no longer like, "Hey guys," no longer like this. "It's Aileika." So like, that went away. Yeah. And that was a game changer. And so when we're looking at, you know, getting Black women paid, I'm wondering if some of what could be holding us back is us holding ourselves back, thinking that we have to be palatable and speak like them in order to achieve at that next level.
And I love that you're coming at this from the entrepreneurial perspective, right? And people want someone who's authentic, right? People don't want some fake, you know, show. And you can tell when someone's putting on a mask. I wonder, for our listeners who are in the corporate world, who are still, you know, who are working for somebody else, you know, what the advice is, because you know, it might still be beneficial to code switch in that situation. I think One thing I would challenge folks to do is to try to see whether there is room for who you really are in that organization, or to see whether there is an organization out there that's ready for who you really are. And if you find that there isn't, then maybe the answer is to move into entrepreneurship, or to work for, if you don't have that entrepreneurial spirit, maybe you're going to work for another Black woman who is running her own business or things that, you know, we need to figure out whether we can be ourselves in these spaces and ask why not if we can't. Exactly. And then if we really haven't found a place where we can do it, then we got to go.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And that's the other thing. I think that one thing that because code switching is such a big topic, and so we didn't dive into everything, but one thing I do want to highlight is that code switching doesn't necessarily mean speaking uneducated, you know, because I think that's what is like leaned into a lot, right? It's like, I'm still educated and I still sound educated, but I just do it in my regular voice versus
not pretending to be a soprano.
Right. Exactly. I get to still sound like me and use words that I would normally use.
Right. And so part of it is combating those stereotypes, right? That it's not, the choices are not sound white or sound dumb or ghetto or whatever the things are that people are going to associate with Black.
Right. Exactly. Right. Because it's not.
Black is educated. Black is excellent. Black is entrepreneurial, exactly. Successful, all of those things. So the more that we show up in that way, more other people can see it, right? And then you don't have to, maybe the next person doesn't have to get on YouTube thinking, well, I can only be successful if I sound white.
Exactly. And furthermore, white doesn't necessarily mean educated, great, you know? So
right, on the other side of things, right.
Exactly. It doesn't mean all the things that, you know, I was called an Oreo for as a kid. Like, that's not what white is, right? it's like we get to look at it as, you know, speaking, I guess, proper enough English, right? That doesn't have to be, that's not white or Black. That's just talking, right?
Yeah.
And we get to look at what that sounds like. And it's funny that it gets associated like that.
Mm. Well, and I'll say one more thing, which is that there is still a level of code switching that is authentic, right? You know, we might use different kinds of phrases when we're talking to one of our friends than when we're talking to our mom or, you know, and both of those can be really us, right? Yeah. And so, you know, for me, like, I think that kind of pseudo African accent I get when I'm talking to my aunties, it's like, yeah, because I can communicate better with them when I'm doing that, you know? And so there is some level of, you know, we have empathy and we reflect, you know, who we're talking to, but to be aware of, you know, where your authentic self is and ensure that you're not losing that and you're not actively hiding it to be accepted by the people you're talking to.
Mm, I love that. Cause it's, you know, I really like that, cause that's so true. It's like, you know, just because even when I look at, I mean, you made a really good point when I'm speaking to like my mom, right? I'm probably not going to say curse words to my mother or my grandmother. I'm probably not going to use curse words.
And that's not because you're not being authentically you.
I'm not going to say that in front of my mother, or I may not talk about sex, or, you know, like something I might talk with my best friend about. I may not use those same phrases, same conversations in conversation with like my grandmother, you know, or my great aunt. Right. It's like,
right. So, but that is very different than when I walk into the office, I put on a mask and I wear that mask all day before I go home. That's a different thing. And that's what I'm hoping we can inspire some Black women to let go of.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that. So I'm sure we'll have another episode on code switching, because I know there's so many deeper areas to get into, and we try and keep these episodes to roughly around 20 minutes. So so we don't want to take it too far, but yeah, keep watching, as we're really going to be talking on topics that align with Black women, align with getting Black women paid, because that's really important to both of us. You know, Teen has an entire book around imposter syndrome. And then she has, go ahead, you got the book today?
I got it.
Yes.
Available on Amazon. Overcoming Imposter Syndrome at Work, The Black Woman's Guide to Conquer Perfectionism, Stop Overthinking, and Thrive in Your Career.
Exactly. And this is about getting Black women paid. So that is what we're going to be using different topics around that we are leaning into and that really go with getting Black women paid, you know, that's either impacting our money in some way or another and how we get to talk to that and different perspectives on it from a corporate side and from a business side and overall from a Black woman and mom standpoint as well, you know,
right.
How do those things align? So thank you all for joining us today. We've had a you know, wonderful time with you. Continue to follow us, subscribe to our channel and to our podcast. We're on YouTube and we'll be on all the other podcast stations. I guess that's what they're called.
Platforms or I don't know.
Platforms. Yeah, platforms. We'll be on all the podcast platforms. So please subscribe, continue to follow us. And we're excited to bring more topics that are aligned with getting Black women paid. All right. We'll see y'all later.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Getting Black Women Paid podcast. If you want to hear more episodes like this one, subscribe wherever you're listening now.
And if you love what you heard, be sure to leave us a review. And make sure you share the podcast with incredible Black women in your life so we can continue getting Black women paid.
All right. We'll see you in the next one.